Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I just want to share from God's Word. Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading a portion of the Christmas story. And we are in that season where we are celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that is the reason for the season? It's all about Jesus. It's all about His birth. Him coming to earth. Praise God. Father, I just thank You today, Lord, for Your precious Word. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in a mighty way, in a powerful way, Lord. We are praying today that the Word of God will find a resting place deep within our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. I don't know if we have it up on the screen. We do. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. We often refer to them as the three wise men, but we don't know if there were three. Probably more than three, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Can I say that again? We have come to worship him, to magnify the name of Jesus, to exalt and to glorify the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands this morning and just praise the name of the Lord? Now, as I was meditating on these verses this week, I thought about the distance that they traveled to come to worship the Lord. Some commentators say 400 miles. They traveled to find Jesus and to worship him. Other commentators say up to 700 miles they traveled on camels. I don't know if anyone here has ever traveled on a camel. Have you ever traveled on a camel? Because there's camels in Sri Lanka, right? There's none? Okay, I thought there were. I think there are camels in Sri Lanka. I'm just going to say there are. I don't know if you've ever traveled on a camel, but I can imagine traveling 400 to 700 miles on camels would be a difficult journey. And somebody say, that's the truth. That's the truth. They had to travel through difficult terrain. They had to face the possibility of thieves, those that would attack them. And yet they continued on. Why? Because they wanted to come and find Jesus, and they wanted to worship him. Hallelujah. I think a lot of us would give up in the first day. I can't handle this camel. But they kept on traveling because they wanted to find the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted to worship him. I thought about this a lot this week, and I thought, you know, they didn't even come to get something from Jesus. They came to offer something to Jesus. They offered gifts to him. They didn't even come and say, what can Jesus do for me? They just came and offered themselves and they prostrated themselves before Almighty God, and they just came to exalt and to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome. When you really think about it, that was their main aim, to bow before Him and to worship Him. Did you know that you and I were created to worship God? We were created to have fellowship with God, to magnify His name. When we were worshiping this morning, we were doing what we were designed to do. Hallelujah. What we were created to do, to glorify, to magnify, to exalt the name of Jesus. And friends, He's done so much for us. He has done so much for us. He has provided us salvation this morning. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have salvation this morning. And how many here have been healed by God? Can I see your hand? How many have received? Wow. Look at all the hands that have gone up. You know, the Bible says that with His stripes, the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. And friends, I remember not too long ago visiting Brother Joe in the hospital. And they all said, I remember getting a call from you, Heather. And you said, pray for my dad. I don't think he has much longer to live. Isn't that the truth? And as he was laying in that bed, and I went into that room and I looked at him, something sparked in my spirit that he was not going to die, but he was going to live. Hallelujah. I remember the family being in that room because, you know, that was one of those rooms where they prepare for death. And I remember traveling back from Cranbrook, and I was praying in tongues the whole time. And when I arrived in Creston, it's like this prayer rose out of my spirit and united with so many others that were praying, hallelujah, that God would raise him up, hallelujah, and heal his physical body. Can somebody shout amen this morning? God is a healing God. It wasn't too long after that that God began to put life in him. And here he is this morning, never missing a Sunday to come and to give God praise and to give God glory. And I'm sure his kids are saying to him, slow down, because God has given him the strength of the Holy Spirit. He is here today as a miracle of the power of Almighty God. We ought to worship him this morning. You know, God always gives us glimpses of how powerful He is and how He ought to be worshiped and magnified. And I remember when my in-laws were standing as their house was burning to the ground and they lost everything in that fire. But there was a little New Testament Bible that was sitting in the ashes. Isn't that right? A little New Testament Bible sitting in the ashes of that home to remind them and to remind us, hallelujah, that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Hallelujah. He is always with us. and we should worship him this morning. Glory to God. I feel so excited. It can't be Christmas. Go to John chapter 4, verse 19. We're talking about worship. There's something powerful about worship. There's something wonderful about praising him. And Jesus was talking to a woman, and the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet," because Jesus was able to tell her about her life. She said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Worship will not be contained to a building. How many know we don't just worship God on Sunday? You can worship God anywhere. Hallelujah. And friends, we should. You can praise him in your car. You can praise him in your home. You can praise him before you go to the dentist. You can praise him before you see the doctor. You can travel anywhere on this earth, and you are free to praise the Lord and magnify his name, to glorify him. So worship is not contained to a building. You know, I'm so thankful that in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we changed the names of our buildings from cathedral and tabernacle, and because God is not contained to a building. Are you hearing me? He's everywhere, and he's in us to be able to release that praise and worship. You know, I've seen people healed miraculously before we ever got to the preaching. It happened as people were worshiping the Lord. Friends, in 2020, God wants to give us a release in this church in praise and worship. Can somebody say amen this morning? God wants to flow mightily in this house as we glorify the Lord. The Bible says, "You worship what you do not know," Jesus said. "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming." Jesus says, now it is. It is now. "When the true worshipers," how many know God is looking for true worshipers, "will worship the Father in spirit." That means by the Spirit. By the Spirit. You know, there's Holy Spirit worship. Are you hearing me? When we get into that realm of the Holy Ghost, where we are lifted above into that place where we see the face of Almighty God, we see Jesus, hallelujah, we are so focused upon him, that's all we can think about is the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and just lifting our voice. One said, "Pastor Ripley, why don't you just calm down?" You know what? I think we've been calmed down for too long. They shout at hockey games. People shout when they win $1 million. People get all excited, yes, when a baby is born, and they should. But friends, there's something else that we should be excited about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout amen this morning? We ought to be thrilled with who he is. Bible says here, in spirit and in truth. That means from a right heart. Worship has to flow by the Holy Spirit, and it has to come from a right heart. A heart that's in right relationship with God, and nothing is hindering. It's just a free flow of the worship unto God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I've been in services where we never got to the preaching. Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God was touching people and ministering to people. And it just began to flow so powerfully. The hearts and lives were deeply touched and ministered to. The Bible says in this last verse, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the last portion of verse 23 says, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Hallelujah. Let's look at another verse this morning. Let's go to Matthew. I have to go to Matthew because Matthew's here. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. God doesn't want just lip service. Here, Jesus calls the Sadducees and the Pharisees hypocrites. He said, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I'm thinking this morning, have we ever been in that situation where we've been singing the songs, but our heart has been a million miles away? Come on, it's the truth, isn't it? Sometimes our heart has been so far from God, and we leave the service and we can't even remember the time that we spent in God's presence because our heart has been far from God. Friends, you can't think about the world all week and then just come on Sunday and think about God. You've got to be thinking about God every day of the week. Hallelujah. Every day of the week is a day to draw near to God, to know him more. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were only concerned with outward action, but not inward change. Worship is not something that comes from the head. Worship is something that comes from the heart. Can somebody say amen this morning? Heart worship. Worship that proceeds from deep within us because we're in love with Jesus. Now, some days we don't feel that way. But it's an act of faith. I choose, David said in the Psalms. He said, I choose to worship the Lord. I'm not going to let my emotions lead me. I'm going to let the word of God in my heart that has been changed and transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I choose to worship him. Have you ever felt down? How many here have ever felt down? Down in the dumps. Someone said, I'm going to the dump, dump. Sometimes we feel in the dumps. You know the thing we ought to do? Is start praising him. Start worshiping him. Hallelujah. Start glorifying his name. And it's amazing how the clouds will begin to part and the sun will begin to shine. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because there's something about worshiping God. He doesn't want it to be just rote. He doesn't want it to be something that we just memorize. He wants it to come forth from our spirit. Hallelujah. He says, in vain they worship me. In vain. In other words, God doesn't accept it. Because the only worship he will accept is that which comes from a heart that's in love with him. Are you hearing me? Are you in love with your wife? Or your husband? Just turn to your husband or wife and say, I love you so much. Did you mean it? Even in our human relationships, we want that word of love to be sincere, right? And God wants the same thing. He wants our love to be sincere and real and heartfelt. One more verse this morning. And it's found in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Beginning at verse 5. This is the story of when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Satan is always out to tempt us and to get us to worship something other than God. How many know that's the truth? He wants us to worship something other than God. And here, Satan comes to Jesus as he was fasting and ending his fast 40 days in the wilderness. And we come to the second temptation in verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Wow. Showed him everything. Wow, talk about the internet. Something more powerful than the internet. The Bible says he showed him everything. All the world. And then he said, all the authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. This is Satan talking, by the way. Just one thing I'm asking you to do. Because I'm able to give it to whomever I wish. He says, there's just one thing I want you to do. I want you to worship me. Are you hearing me? Can you imagine going to Jesus? Man, the devil had a lot of guts, didn't he? Come to Jesus and say, you know what? I'm going to give you everything that you see. How many know that Jesus created everything that we see and know? He's the creator of everything. You know how many people are being deceived today to think that God doesn't exist? That all that we see here in this beautiful valley just came about through a big bang? Can you imagine? That's what they believe. They believe that everything that we see, all the animals and all the trees and everything that's contained in human form, the eyes, the ears, the brain, was created beautifully by God Himself. And here Satan comes to Jesus. He says, I'm going to give you everything. All you have to do is worship me. You know, there are Christians not serving God today because they bought into the lie that they can have God and the world. You can't have God in the world. You have to choose who you're going to serve. Are you hearing me this morning? You can't serve God and money. That's what the Bible says. You have to choose whom you're going to serve. And friends, this morning, I have made up my mind. I am going to serve and worship God Almighty. Can you lift your hands and praise the living God? Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whatever you want to do, you can go ahead and do it. It's your choice. But for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Because you can have everything. All you have to do is bow down to me and worship me. Look at Jesus' response in closing. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Friends, sometimes we have to say that. Are you hearing me this morning? Sometimes we have to say that. Get behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I am not going to worship you. I am not going to worship the things of this world. I am not going to cling to anything that's been created by Satan or by man. I'm going to cling to God Almighty. Hallelujah. I'm going to put my hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus, and I'm not giving up. Hallelujah. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Can I say that again? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Friends, sometimes that's a lonely walk. But anybody can swim downstream. Sometimes God asks us to swim upstream against the current. Are you hearing me this morning? Him only shall you serve and worship. Hallelujah. No other God, nothing else above him, nothing else on your priority list that's number one except for God. God in the morning, God in the afternoon, God at night. He is number one. Hallelujah. And friends, let me tell you something. When you put God first, it's amazing how God begins to orchestrate our lives. He begins to put everything together so beautifully when we put him first and worship him. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning to be like those wise men. They traveled hundreds of miles, and their only desire was to find Jesus and worship him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Friends, the Bible says we have found a treasure. Haven't we? Isn't Jesus a treasure? He's a treasure this morning. When you found Jesus, you found it all. Hallelujah. There's nothing else to get, folks. He's it. He fulfills every desire. He fulfills every want. He pours into our lives. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. God is here this morning. Challenge each and every one of us. Make it our lifelong desire. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Will you bow your heads this morning?